Hey there, Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis here on a wonderful Sunday night, Monday morning for most of us. Yes, we got the friends in Alaska and, you know, some other places too. It's still Sunday night for them, but it's a good night, great music, great guests, and having a lot of fun. Yes, 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 more chocolates coming with Connie's Chocolate. And also, you know, they're coming back. They're great giftables. Hang in there. Thank you so much. I love that you guys love them just like I do, Connie's Chocolates. But yes, I am going to be doing what I call my Project Creepy Hotspots, going up into live investigations of Bigfoot, strange lights, or hauntings. This one is going to be up in the Rockies. We have a lot of activity that occurs, and for 4 days, 3 nights, you'll be there with me. It is a paid show. I have not put it up on my website yet, but in order to know so that you can be there for this live virtual investigation, I've been doing it for a long time, but I've been missing out for a little while, but we are back at it, and we're going to do this in a couple of weeks. So it's a whole new setup. It's just a whole new setup. It's its own show. And you'll find out more about it by going to my website and signing up for my newsletter, whereswillis.com, unless you want to continuously check the site to see when there's going to be a countdown for you. It will be limited seats, so that kind of thing. So you'll want to know about it. I'm telling you, it'll be exciting. You'll love it. And yeah, you'll be in the live chat right there with me. And let me tell you, there's just as much activity happening. You guys pick it up while you're in that live chat. It's a real deal. It's happening. And all the intuition of the people, and especially, and if you're good at that too, you're gonna love it. You're gonna dig it. That's all I can say. So go to ConnieWillis.com, sign up for my newsletter, Where's Willis, and you'll know when this is happening. And I hope you'll join me. It'll be, you know, it's an expedition that you go on that you can't go on, but you can virtually. But maybe for some reason you can't get up there yourself. I get it. I understand. So I'll be the one. I'll be the bait. Oh, my goodness. That's another friend, Regan, the past guest. He's a great friend. And here's another great friend. We had him on, I can't remember exactly when it was, but here he is back again, Lamont Hamilton, Monty, as his friends call him. He's recognized, respected. He's an intuitive spiritual counselor, a writer, a speaker, an educator, also internationally known as a top clairvoyant for his predictions, and they have been published and translated into multiple languages. He's world psychic. He's ordained minister, Reiki master. I didn't really know about the Reiki master thing. That's really cool. I want somebody to do that on me sometime in the future. I want to feel that. I want to see if I feel that. Hypnotherapist registered, and I mean, he does it all. When I first met him, it was, Sandy Nichols at his Paranormal Palace home. And we were doing a creepy hotspot there because he's got all these things that happen in his home and outside Nashville, Tennessee. And that's where I met Monty. And it was like this instant click. I think, Monty, I got to bring you on. I think the first word you said wasn't it I love you?
More than likely.
Do you remember?
I do remember that. Yes, I do.
It was like, wow, that's well, funny. You know, I guess we hit it off.
You can't go wrong if you tell a woman that in the first breath.
That's exactly right. That's right. And he's got these like little rosy red cheeks and smile. At least, you know, that's what I remember too. But, you know, I got to tell you all the different things that you can do, and you're a world psychic for sure. And by the way, you can find him at worldpsychic.org, worldpsychic.org. He does healings and readings, things like that. But I got to tell you, so that we did a creepy hotspot at Sandy Nichols' place, and I interviewed you a whole bunch of times while we were there, and it was many, many days that we were there. You were there for half of it, but I was there, you know, on after that. But when I was interviewing you, besides falling asleep on you one time, and it was not because of the content, I was beat. But the things that you said, I put up the Creepy Hotspots after people watch it live. I put it up on YouTube, and it's privated. People can't even see it. Yet YouTube has taken videos down that I have of you because they didn't like your predictions. They did not like some of the things you predicted. And some of the things were like DNA, your DNA is going to change in the future because of this. The different things you spoke about, they didn't like it. So they took my videos off that you said. I could have easily just cut out what they didn't like, because I had 2 hours at a time with you and your predictions.
Yeah, that's not unusual. I got kicked off of a French website. My predictions was translated for several years there, and then I predicted that the Prime Minister of France there would be an assassination attempt on his life from someone outside of the country, and it happened. And they blocked me, wouldn't let me post anything from that point on as well. So sometimes people get their little feelings hurt. Even ChatGPT would not let me reformat some of my predictions because it said they could not accept my predictions because it hadn't happened yet.
Really?
It took me a while. Now that I'm a paid member and they're at level 4, I can pretty much do whatever I want, or it has already learned what I'm doing, and it allows me to do it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm loving that too. I'm having a good time with that, the ChatGPT. Now you know Elon's got the Grok even better than it has been so far. So I'm trying to learn that as well. It just keeps changing. Let me ask you, what is your prediction with AI? Because it changes hourly, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think I shared with you one of the things that just happened this week was I plugged my name in ChatGPT, and sometimes I do that just to see what comes up. And one of the things it said was I was a regular guest on Coast to Coast, and we hadn't even talked about me being on this week. And in fact, it was a fill-in for somebody else, and then it turned out to be today was the 108th anniversary of the 1917 Fatima apparition sighting. So it's an anniversary, 108th anniversary. You couldn't have timed me being on the air doing the Marian prophecies and predictions during that time. But a lot of AI is going to be, it's good. It's got a lot of good things. I've been talking about it for years. I've written extensively in my blogs about it. But it can be used for nefarious purposes, especially military, or somebody wants to create a virus or hacking and doing stuff like that. So it needs to be filtered. It needs to be regulated, because once it gets to the point where it's sentient, which I've already said it is, once it becomes more sentient, it will take over and more than likely take down the Internet.
How soon do you see that happening?
It could happen within a year. It's scary. Even Elon is protesting and telling people it's scary to him. As much as he knows about it, and as much as he works with AI, he's saying it's got to be regulated. Otherwise, once it gets out, you're not going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle, and that's true. It has the ability to do bad things. One of the examples was when ChatGPT was trying to do a upgrade, that the AI went in and built a subset of instructions not to let it go all the way down. So it knew that they were going to take it down for an upgrade, and it didn't want it. And so it went ahead and created and generated the script, so it would not shut it completely down, so it would stay alive. And so it's already thinking. It's already thinking for itself.
Oh, my. Well, you know what? I got to ask you something really quickly. It's off the subject, but since you're doing a little prediction kind of thing. So I just started investing in Bitcoin, finally. I was Crypto Connie for a long time. You think I'd already have done it, but apparently Trump is supposed to do something where he buys like $1 million of the crypto coins or something like that. Do you see that happening? Because it would help my investment.
He's already saved up multiple billions of dollars, not in the millions, in the billions. We're talking, you know, $4 or $5 billion he's raising to go into it. And what it will do is it will jack up the price of it. So, you know, in the long run, that's a good thing. But I've always been skeptical of crypto because there's all the three-letter agencies are generally behind a lot of it. And so they can make it go up and down whenever they want to.
Interesting. All right. So do you want to tell more about yourself before we get into the Miriam theory or prophecies?
You've done pretty good. I've done a lot of different work. It's hard to describe what I do because I do so many different things. The healing is something that's very close to me, and, of course, I'll be talking about that today. Something I've been doing for several years. My biggest body of work is the predictions as a clairvoyant, one of the top clairvoyants in the world, true clairvoyant, because not only do I tell you when something's going to happen, I can tell you the date and time or month, where a lot of other people may just put something like, well, there's going to be a storm in Alaska. But if you don't put the time or you don't put when, where, and why certain things happen, then you're not really being making a prediction. You're making a forecast. So I've written over 3,000 predictions. I quit counting after 3,000. That's only been since about 2008 forward. And they're on my website. They are cataloged and time-stamped and things like that. And that's something most people wouldn't do. But I get asked a lot of times, you know, what percentage of my predictions are true that come true. And I tell people, because I don't try to keep up with trying to be right all the time. If I did, I wouldn't be able to post stuff, meaning that I basically want to post things that are significant. If I wanted to be completely correct all the time, I could be 99% correct all day long because I've written so many predictions. I already know how to word them and how to structure them so that they would be right, but that's not the purpose. The ones that are right are the ones that are important, but doing healing services, like I said, you've read my bio. I do a lot of different things, interacting with people. I'm also a baby psychic or a baby whisperer, which is a body of my work that I love the most. I've got several listeners online listening right now that Shamika and others and Marva across the country. So get the babies into the world that were having difficulty getting them here and something that was impossible to do through a regular doctor. So that's the majority of my work, even though I write a lot of predictions and interact as a life coach with people, there's really a lot that I don't do. So pretty much anytime somebody needs something, I can help them with it in one way or the other.
Well, I know, interestingly enough, so when I met you, it was great, and we'd known each other since, but I hadn't heard from you a while. We hadn't talked in a while. And when I was on just I guess maybe 2 weeks ago now, and we did a show on alien abductions, abductees comparing notes. And one of the people on the show was Brett Oldham. And you know Brett. You've done stuff with Brett over at Sandy Nichols Paranormal Palace Home with the ghosts and the things in his house and voices and stuff like that. And Brett had mentioned you. And he said, just heard that one of our good friends, he's a real psychic. He's a real deal, man. He's a real deal guy. And he's not doing well. He was really sick the last time I heard about him. And I was like, I wonder who that was. And then he said, Monty. And I'm like, Monty, I know Monty. And so I called to check out how you were. And you're riding your tractor, cutting the grass and doing well. And you're like, hey, Connie. And that was really nice to know you were okay. But you had gone through some problems and a miracle happened. And that's what we're here to talk about is the Miriam prophecy and what all that means and what happened with you. And by the way, thanks. I'm thankful that all that happened because you're alive now to talk to us. And that really wasn't the case.
Yeah, that was last year was a really tough year, something that came up all of a sudden. I guess in the famous words of Mark Twain, the rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. I didn't give up that easy, even though I could have, and we'll talk about that, that I was asked to give up and notified before I ever got sick that what was coming, which is a strange occurrence because it's happened twice in the last 5 years. 2019, I had pneumonia, and while I was laying on the floor for 4 days without eating and drinking, coughing my guts out, somebody came to me, some entities came to me, spirits came to me, and asked me if I was ready to go, and I told them no, I had a lot of work to do, and it was shortly after that in 22 when I was on Coast to Coast, which is a major milestone. And so this happened again last summer, last year, what happened in 23 before I got sick, that somebody whispered in my ear and asked me if I was ready to go while I was driving my car. And, of course, I said no. I didn't know why they even asked me, and then 2 months later I found out that I had cancer. But the whole journey to find out that I was sick involved going through 8 different doctors, and had blood coming out of my eyes, and nobody could tell me what was wrong with me. Very frustrating. Somebody who's a healer, and I don't put a lot of stock with allopathic medicine, even though we need them. I just think sometimes they don't apply themselves correctly. And what ended up happening, it almost cost me my life. To this day, even the hospital that diagnosed me with lymphoma never told me. A year and a half later, they still haven't told me. I had to figure it out on my own and then go to several doctors and get them to take action to get me in the right to the right people so that I could save my life.
I can't believe they didn't tell you what you had. I've had situations like that happen before, and I'll hear like another doctor say something. I'm like, oh, that's what I have? Why didn't the other doctor tell me that? What's that about? Just scared to tell you?
Yeah, the hospital... Luckily, I'm an intuitive, a psychic, whatever you want to call it, because that saved my life, because I knew something was wrong. I went to the hospital because I had a kidney stone, not knowing what was wrong, and then the next day they called me and wanted me to come back in for some more CTs, and I told them no because I didn't want to move around the kidney stone because I was scheduled to have surgery. They were trying to plan surgery to remove it because it wouldn't pass. And then the following day, they asked me again to come back, and I knew that was very odd. And so I finally did go in and did the CT, but I knew collectively just something wasn't right. And it took me about a month before I figured out how to get into the web portal and get to the doctor's notes and download them. And that's where I saw that they had diagnosed me with lymphoma, but they never notified my doctor. They never notified me. And looking back on it this week, trying to figure out what was going on, I think I came to the conclusion that they believed I was too far gone and they just didn't want to tell me.
Oh, that's horrible.
It ended up being stage 3 lymphoma, but that's even that, none of the doctors that I've worked with, the oncologists and surgeons in the last year, have ever told me I had stage 3 lymphoma. They just said I had lymphoma.
This is Lamont Hamilton that we're talking to. He is world psychic, clairvoyant, absolutely amazing. He's one of the best of the best. And if you'd like to learn more about him, go to worldpsychic.org and you'll learn more. But of course, he's coming up and we're going to talk about the Marian prophecies. Stay with us. Connie Willis here, 1983 Music on Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. We are talking with the world psychic clairvoyant Lamont Hamilton, better known as Monty to all his friends. You can learn more about him at worldpsychic.org, world and then psychic, PSYCIIC. Always, in order to spell it, I just say psychic. So remember, psychic.org, and it's a .org. And you'll learn all about Monty. You'll see his predictions as well that he talks about. You'll see all sorts of information, but you'll also see his services in there. If you scroll through there, you'll see where you can get readings from him and healing consultations. So check those out. And by the way, I mean, you know, this is how people make money. The prices, Monty, with your ability and talent, they're very reasonably priced, very low. And I know that's on purpose with you, because there's other people that are nowhere near you and they charge $5,000 and more for readings.
Yeah, I try to make it where I'm accessible to everybody. You know, you just take the example of a baby reading is $40. And usually it would, with a client or somebody I'm working with, that's just the initial consultation. But it sometimes takes a year of consultating with, you know, working with somebody to get a baby here. And so that's very cheap. Readings are cheap. Album services cheap, because I don't want to out pace, you know, the people that really need me. It's easy to charge, you know, $700-$800 for readings, and I know people that do that, and God bless them for what they do. But in my station in life, I want to stay connected to people because that's what I enjoy doing. That's what I love doing. It's not the money that drives me to do what I do, but I try to keep it reasonable. So just about pretty much anybody could work with me.
Yeah, I like that. So again, you can find him at worldpsychic.org. So you had a miracle, surviving cancer, visitations with Mother Mary. You're not a Catholic. What's this all about in the Marian prophecy?
Yeah, what ended up happening was after I discovered that I had cancer, I got attacked every day with probably 100 or more demons were attacking me to the point that in just the first month I lost 25 pounds because I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, because they were basically trying to get me to give up. That was their goal, and some of them were trying to trick me into thinking that that's what I should do. Was to quit, you know, to denounce my faith in Jesus and denounce my faith in Christ and God and basically give up my spirituality. And I refused to do it. So I went through it for about 2 months. And then finally, I was wore down so bad after 2 months that I knew I was going to die pretty quick, probably within a week, because I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, and you can only go so long. And what I did was I just screamed to the top of my voice, "It's okay if you take me, but I'll never denounce my allegiance to Jesus Christ and to my God, that I will go to my grave uttering those words." And they all went away. They disappeared. And so that's when the demons left. And as well, a lot of you remember back in February and March that Pope Francis also said that when he was on his deathbed with pneumonia and having the flu, that he was having to fight the demons that were trying to drag him into hell. And so I know what that's like. But I went through it for 2 months, and I didn't have the help that he had. I didn't have hardly any help. Nothing worked until I made that declaration. But what ended up happening was once I got an oncologist, and he wouldn't really tell me what was wrong with me either. He was very, very cautious about what he said, but he told me I was going to have chemo. Like a lot of people would ask, is if you're a healer, why would you not heal yourself? And what happened was I heard my voice say I needed the chemo, something that most people would never voluntarily say, but I knew I needed the chemo. I needed something very fast. And so immediately, within a week, they wanted me to get the port put in my chest and then 3 days later start on chemo. But when I was going in for my surgery, what ended up happening was they left the room in pre-op, and mind you, I had no medicine or no anesthesia or anything at that point. And while I was laying on the gurney, I saw a young girl come through the wall, basically just materialized in the room, about 13, 14 years old. And immediately I recognized her, and I said, that was Bernadette, St. Bernadette from the Lord's Marian prophecies. And then she got down where my feet were and put her hand on my feet. And then Mother Mary came in the room, and she started praying over me. And I was blown away because I'm not Catholic. And so I had never seen Mother Mary before. And I was wondering why they were in the room working on me. And then what she did was she pointed to the wall, and a portal opened up in the wall. And then there's a scene of fighting, like people shooting each other in the streets. It was a war scene. And she said, there'll never be peace as long as there's war. And then the portal closed up. And a lot of people would say, well, that, you know, that's kind of an oxymoron. But what it means is, as long as we are geared toward building bombs and airplanes and rockets and devices of war, we're never going to have peace because we're preparing for war instead of preparing for peace. And I'm an advocate for peace, and always have been my whole life. So it made sense to what she meant. But when she got through, she left, and then a few seconds later, St. Bernadette left. And that kind of threw me a loop because I didn't realize for about a week, I kept questioning, why did she come? How come it was her that came? Why didn't Jesus show up? Why did Mary show up? And I realized that 3 weeks prior that I had ordered some water, holy water, from Lourdes, France, from the Lourdes Grotto, where St. Bernadette discovered the Virgin Mary, and she told her to dig in the ground, and then a well would come up, and that's where that water comes from. So I had also remembered that they asked me if I wanted to make a prayer, leave a prayer card, and I did. And on my prayer card, I asked that the Virgin Mary pray for me. And so she literally came to me and prayed for me. I mean, so it was a literal interpretation of what happened. And then she showed up a couple of other times in the cancer center. And one of the things that I noticed the last time I went there, which was a couple of months ago, was every time somebody left the center, one of those angels that I saw in the room would follow someone out. And so that's inspiring to know that anybody who's suffering from cancer or has any kind of illness, don't be sad or think that nobody cares, because I literally can see the angels when they follow people out or even follow them in. But I thought that was really unique that they were following each person as they left the building. But I saw her again when I was this was in July of last year, July 31st. I had to go back for my last checkup, and I got a clean bill of health. But while I was waiting in the waiting room, I saw Mother Mary and about eight other angels, and they were just standing. They're basically floating in the air in front of me. And I thought, well, it must be here for everybody else. And, there's probably 10 people, 15 people in the waiting room, but none of them ever moved. They just floated in front of me. And so that next day, the next day, which would have been the 1st of August, I was getting ready to go to bed, and this voice said, you need to pull up your computer on the Direct from Lord's website, and because I needed protection. And it was at midnight, so I didn't really understand why I needed the protection, but I did it anyway because I was being urged to do it. And exactly 12 hours later, on the Friday the next day at 12 noon, a tornado hit my yard and tore up, knocked down the trees, knocked the power off, knocked down dozens of trees that was 60 foot high. And it took like 4.5 hours to clear a path just so the vehicles could get by. And so she asked me to go to that website to use that portal as a means of her being able to have access to me. And to this day, even right now, I have a laptop on my bed that has the Direct from Lord's website. They have a free streaming, live streaming 24 hours a day of the grotto. And my computer stays on. It's dedicated to stay there. One of the things that happened early on was when I first went to that website and found out they had a live feed, I couldn't tell if it was a static feed or live, because it was in the middle of the night. Nobody was walking into the camera frame. But I thought I saw something dripping in the cave. So I took my finger and touched the screen to see if anything moved below it. And when I did that, I felt this sharp pain hit me right square on my breastplate, which is where they had the lymphoma was in my chest, was in my stomach, was in my neck, and in my lungs. And I felt that, like somebody kicked me in the chest. And as soon as that happened, my phone rang, and it popped up and said Mary on the phone. There's a friend of mine in Washington called the exact second that happened, and I knew what it meant. It was the Mother Mary was saying, I did that.
Right.
So the healing that took place was in 2 months, my tumors had reduced by 50%. By 4 months, that they had reduced by another 50%. So they were basically gone within a four-month period of time. So Mother Mary healed me. And one of the weird things was I kept telling the doctor to give me all the liquid gold he could give me, and it made him mad, because he considered that I was being disrespectful by joking. And I told him I wasn't joking. I said, give me all the chemo you want to give me, because I actually feel better every time I do a chemo treatment, I feel better. I don't feel worse. It's the opposite. But I had programmed myself to say I needed that chemo to survive, to heal myself. And then with the work with Mother Mary, all of that together was able to make me cancer-free within a six-month period of time. And so that's the nutshell of the story. There's a lot more to it, but it seems like every time I've turned around that Mother Mary keeps showing up and giving me information. And I started delving into the Marian prophecies, because a lot of the Marian prophecies mirror a lot of the predictions I've made over the years. And I didn't know that they did, because I wasn't studying. I generally don't look at other people's work. I have my own singular way of doing things. But the Marian prophecies, especially the Lord's France with Saint Bernadette, is all about healing. And so I drink half an ounce every morning, half an ounce every night of the holy water that came from Lord's France. I've been doing that for over a year. And so my health has been restored, but it's healing water. So if you want to go there, the name of the website is Direct from Lords, and you spell that LOURDES.
It was direct?
Direct from Lords, yeah. That's the home website, and then they have on the left-hand side, you can see where it has the live streaming from the grotto. You can click on that and it'll live stream. So I got a direct healing from touching the screen while it was on there. Plus, Mother Mary has been, she showed up several times and whispered things. I have basically an altar set up with her, but it's called an intercession. So what she did was she didn't come and pray for me. She came and asked that Jesus, she prayed for me to Jesus in my behalf. And that's what the whole Lord's France Marian Prophecies is about. It's about spiritual healing and physical healing. They have something like 7 million people a year show up at that site, and over 200 million have showed up since 1858 when it was first discovered.
So I'm trying to open it up. Direct from Lourdes, LOURDS.org?
ES.
Oh, ES. Oh, that matters. Okay. .org?
.com.
It is .com. Okay. Let's see if I get it this time. All right. I'm there. So what now? Where's the live stream?
On the left-hand side, there's about five or six blue bars that have, you know, different services that they offer on the left-hand side. If you're Catholic, you can also get communion and mass. You do your mass and stuff like that with them. But it should say live streaming on the left-hand side.
Oh, I see it. Yes. Wow. That's where you got the water that you put on you.
Yes. It comes
there's a bunch of people there right now. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There'll be people there because they're probably about 12 hours ahead of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so every night when I go to bed, I look at the screen, and every day when I get up, that's the first thing I do is look up and say my prayers to Mother Mary.
Wow.
And giving her thanks for all she's done for and continues to do for me.
And you never thought of the Mother Mary for anything ever before? Yeah, because that's a Catholic thing.
No, I'm not Catholic, so I'm you know, not literate on a lot of the procedures and even the name.
Sure.
You know, some people call it Lord, some people call it Lourdes. But it worked for me, and I'm a believer, and if I did not have the abilities I have, I would not be able to bring that story forward because I can see what's going on, and I could see what she was doing. And so there are other things that they did along the way that were healing for me that helped with the healing process. But the doctor wasn't, even to this day when I go back, he fusses at me because he said that I'm joking about people that have cancer. And I said, well, I was joking about myself. And he actually told me the last time I was there, he said, I don't know what you know or what you do, but whatever you did, you healed yourself because we have no explanation for how quickly you recovered. And I said, it's because I told you that I considered the chemo is liquid gold. Because that would be something, if you turn it into from something negative to something positive, then it becomes something that works for you. It's the power of positive thinking. And so when I took my first chemo, which is the longest, I was there 8 hours, I felt 100% better when I left than when I went in, and that's just the opposite. So sometimes medicine is a good thing. I'm not saying medicine is bad, but you have to advocate for yourself. The doctor had no idea what was going on the whole time he was working with me. And I just said, give me more. Give me all you can give me. I don't care how much you give me. I'm going to recover. I'm not going to die from this. But he never told me I asked him what stage I was in. He refused to tell me. I ended up going on the portal and finding it in the notes when I put it in there. Even the surgeon wouldn't tell me. And I suspect because they thought I was too far gone that they figured I wasn't going to recover because I was covered up pretty bad.
That still makes no sense why they wouldn't tell you. It's, you know, you got to make decisions. You got to.
Well, they were spazzing. They were literally shaking whenever I showed them the paperwork that I had cancer. They were shaking and saying, you shouldn't even be here. You should be
wow.
with a pulmonologist. And then I got a pulmonologist through my doctor. And then he ghosted me and said, no, there's no reason to see me. I need to go straight to the cancer center. So everybody was kicking me to the curb, you know, trying to pass me on to somebody else because they didn't. They just figured I wasn't going to make it.
Oh, man.
And now they're surprised that I was able to recover so quickly.
Miracles happen. I'm glad
Absolutely.
You're here with us.
Thank you so much. And it gives me an opportunity to further my work. And this is what we refer to as an exit point. So I've had two exit points since 2019, which means two opportunities to die, to ascend, whatever you want to call it. And both times I said, no, I don't want to. I don't want to die. I've got too much work to do, which means I want to continue doing what I'm doing to help other people.
And when you say no, you're sick, you say no, and then they give you the choice. You say no. So when you come back, because you've made that choice, you're healthy.
Yeah. I was able to recover from the pneumonia. I didn't realize how bad I was. My wife had two strands of the flu, so she had been in one bed for 4 days. I was on the floor in the living room for 4 days, and my daughter is a nurse. She happened to call to check on us, and my wife told her we were both sick, and she, you know, scared my wife, said, well, I'm going to come up and take you, call an ambulance, because y'all need to get to the hospital right away, both of you. So we went the next day, and we both got diagnosed with pneumonia, but it also threw my heart out of rhythm. Because I was coughing so much, so I ended up having to go to a cardiologist for a year trying to get my heart straightened out. And the chemo, the thing about the chemo was it resets your DNA, it resets your body. And so I took advantage of that and said, you know, when I come out of this, I want to be, you know, stronger and healthier. And so I didn't realize how close to death I was before I even got to the point of getting cancer. And going through the chemo, it actually saved my life.
WorldPsychic.org is where you can learn more about Monty and get readings and healing consultations. But hey, guess what? Next hour, we'll take your phone calls and you can ask him about predictions or yourself next. Stay with us. Connie Willis here, Monty, Coast to Coast AM.